The Old Testament lesson for Holy Thursday is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers, on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them up out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor, and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. But I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 10. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, that our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. They said to him, Where will you have us prepare it? He said to them, Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message is from John chapter 13, beginning at the first verse. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had loved his own who were in the world, and now he loved them to the end. It was during the supper. The devil had already put the idea of betraying Jesus into the mind of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Jesus knew the Father put everything in his hands, and he had come from God and was going back to God. So Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his outer garment, took a towel, and tied it around him. Then he poured water into a basin and started to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel that was tied around him. And so he came to Simon Peter. "Lord," Peter asked him, "are you going to wash my feet?" "You don't understand now what I am doing," Jesus answered him, "but later you will understand." "No," Peter told him, "you'll never wash my feet." "If I don't wash you," Jesus answered him, "you have no share in me." "Lord," Simon Peter told him, "not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." "Anyone who has bathed needs only to have his feet washed," Jesus told him. "He's clean all over. You're clean, but not every one of you." He knew who was betraying him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his garment, he lay down again. "Do you know what I have done to you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because I am that. But if I, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you too should wash one another's feet. I have given you an example so that you will do as I did to you. Surely I tell you, a slave is no greater than his master. And if you're sent, you're no greater than the one who sent you. If you know this, you're happy if you do it. I'm not talking about all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But what the scripture says has come true. He who eats my bread betrays me. From now on, I am telling you these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you will believe I am the one. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. If you receive anyone I send, you receive me. And if you receive me, you receive him who sent me. After saying this, Jesus was deeply troubled. "I tell you the truth," he declared, "one of you is going to betray me." The disciples looked at one another, wondering what he meant. One of the disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining close to him. Simon Peter motioned to him to ask him who he meant. Leaning back where he was against Jesus' chest, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" "I'll dip this piece of bread and give it to him," Jesus answered. "He's the one." Then he dipped it and gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After Judas took the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are doing, do quickly." What he meant by telling him this, no one at the table knew. Some thought, since Judas had the money box, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what you need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. Right after taking the piece of bread, Judas went outside, and it was night. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and in him God is glorified. God will glorify him in himself. Yes, he will glorify him now." So we've made it to Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. Maundy, by the way, means, it's a Latin word for command or mandate. It's one of the most sacred nights in the life of Jesus. It's a story, Maundy Thursday is a story about love and betrayal. We pause and we reflect on what it means to love, showing through humility, sacrifice, and love to one another. Tonight is a display of love. It is also the beginning of Jesus' suffering. He was gathered with his disciples, and he knew the time was short. But he didn't focus on his upcoming sorrow or suffering. In the text that I read, he washes the disciples' feet. It was a humble act, and it shocked the disciples. He was teaching them that true greatness is seen in serving others. It was also a night of betrayal. Judas was going to betray him in just a few hours. We don't remember the night just to be observers of it, but we are asked to be partakers of this night. Maundy Thursday is not about a memory of what Jesus did. It's a chance to encounter Jesus' love anew. It's a call to receive his love and to love one another. As we reflect on his actions, we do so with open hearts and minds. As I said, we're not just spectators or observers. We are participants. We know that we love because he first loved us. Tonight is love in action. The room was quiet. They were gathered for the Passover. It was a celebration and a remembrance of what God had done in the Old Testament when he delivered them from Egypt. They had done this many times over the years. But tonight was different. Jesus' time was coming to an end. Within hours, he would be betrayed and arrested, and the next day led to the cross. Jesus does something totally unexpected, and it has a lasting impact on the disciples and us. We learn that Jesus wrapped himself in a towel, and he poured water into a basin, and he starts to wash the feet of the disciples. Washing the feet of guests, that was the job of a servant. It certainly was not the job of a rabbi or the Messiah. And good old Peter. I always love Peter. Peter talks before he engages his mind sometimes. And he says, "Lord, you'll never wash my feet." Jesus responds, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." Jesus wasn't talking only about physical cleanliness. He was talking about a spiritual cleansing. Jesus redefines what it means to be great. He flips the whole idea of what power is upside down. True love is about service and humility and sacrifice. If the King of Kings was willing to kneel and to serve, what does that mean for us? Jesus calls us to do the same. He calls us to humble ourselves and serve one another. That even means loving the family member that doesn't quite appreciate us, or that person that we know that is just plainly ornery. We're still called to love them. Jesus doesn't suggest that we serve or love, but he commands it. He embodies the concept of love through his sacrifice and his humility. Maundy Thursday challenges us to consider who needs to experience the love of Jesus through our willingness to serve. Then Jesus says something that shocks the disciples. He says, "One of you will betray me." The room falls silent, and they each ask, "Is it I, Lord?" Judas, knowing what he'd already said in the motion, stays very composed in all of this. And we learn in the gospel, I believe it's Luke, that even Judas asks, "Is it I?" Now he knew the answer. He knew it was him. Jesus hands him a piece of bread, and then Judas slips away quietly. Just compare for a moment the selfish act of Judas compared to the selfless act of Jesus. But before we condemn Judas, let's look at our own hearts. Betrayal is not always so obvious. It can be just choosing our own way. Have we ever chosen convenience over conviction? Pride over loyalty to Jesus? Judas's story challenges us to lay down our desires and to stand firm in the face of opposition. Jesus offers now a new commandment. He says in verses 31 to 35, "When he was gone, Jesus says, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Judas leaves, and the entire atmosphere of the upper room changes. Jesus speaks words that define Christianity for generations to come. I'll read that verse again. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus is not suggesting that we love one another. He's giving a mandate or a command. What does love demand? It demands that we be sacrificial. Jesus demonstrates that. He died for those that he loves. Love is also self-giving. It expects nothing in return. Love is also transformational. It changes life. It defines what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Love is what makes his followers stand out. In the book of Acts, it is said of the non-believers when they looked at Christians, "See how they love one another." Jesus did not say, "People will know that you are my disciples if you attend church." He says they'll know you are his disciples by loving one another. Tonight we will remember Jesus' sacrificial love. Let's let his new command define our lives. During the meal, he took the Passover food, the bread and the wine, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he takes the cup of wine and says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." He institutes a new covenant. That was the Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah, that the body, that the bread is his body and the wine his blood. I teach my confirmands that it's easy to remember what we receive in communion. We receive the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. We receive those four things for the forgiveness of sins and to strengthen our faith. Now, tomorrow night, we'll continue the message with the Good Friday story. So may the peace of God, which is above all understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.